Proverbs chapter 26, please. Proverbs chapter 26. Thank you, team, and thank you, most of all, Pastor, for having us in here to Faith Baptist, and always great to be with the Hirschenbrothers and the Fosters, and just great to, I will tell you, as the years go on, I've done this for 15 years, been on the road with the ensemble, and great to, as we forge friendships along the way, and be along with pastors and men in ministry that are just kindred heart, and it's great to be here again with those that really believe right, and it's exciting. Proverbs chapter 26, not a very long message tonight, just a challenge to each one of us, a simple challenge, but before we get there, we're going to just ask you a question. How many of you enjoy tinkering with cars? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you at least understand how to tinker with a car? Okay, a few more, okay. You know, how many of you are like me, you just take your car to the oil change place? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, most of you, okay. I can probably figure it out. I haven't ever in my life, and but it's one of those things. But, you know, when I open the hood of my car, I just got a, my friend up there, he's actually the director of security, he just gave me, actually in January, I have to tell you, it's a black hole these last few months. In January, he actually gave me a car. We were praying for a bigger vehicle. We couldn't fit both of our kiddos in our little Ford Focus. And the Lord laid on his heart. He was buying a new vehicle. And he has a 2014 Chevy Impala LTZ with the turbo cop package. Leather interior, the whole thing. Gave it to me. Signed it away to me. Right to me. That was a blessing. Huge answer to prayer. Can't wait to get back there and drive it in a few days. He took it out for a spin. He actually lives across the street from me. But anyways, great car. We were fixing the headlights, okay? So we had to do something to the headlights. And I remember opening up the hood, and he's helping me out, pulling in his garage, and he was helping out, and looking at the thing, and I remember thinking to myself, I have no idea what this stuff does. I have no idea. I've driven for a long time. I've driven, you know, a long time in my life, and 16 years or whatever else, 15 years. I've done a lot of driving across the entire nation, corner to corner, all four corners, we've done it all. But I have no idea how to fix anything in there, okay? If something goes wrong, I just know the light on the dash says something. You know, there was a light on the dash before we left. I told a guy, you know, back at home, like, hey, there's a light in the dash. He's like, oh, it's not a problem. I'm like, well, there's still a light in the dash. He's like, oh, but he had to explain it to me. I have no idea what it means. You know, you could have the best car in the world with a light on the dash that says check engine, and you got a problem, right? You could have, we were down in South Florida, and you know how the money down there, driving into the gas station, driving into Walmart, driving into whatever, just normal old Joe places, Maseratis. You know, I saw more Maseratis than I did Fords, you know, at one time. You know, there was just all these incredibly crazy, amazing cars. We were out in L.A. 4 years ago in ensemble, and I had two guys with me that literally they knew cars, like they just knew cars. And they'd just point out as they were going the other direction, you know, other way on the highway, they'd go out. There's a Maserati, there's a Lamborghini, there's this. I mean, just an incredible amount of expensive cars. The craziness of the I-95. I mean, it's nuts out there. And man, all the nice cars, they're going crazy out there. But, you know, I don't care how good a Maserati or more of a lower level car for those guys, a BMW or whatever it might be. I don't care how nice it looks. I don't care how amazing it's supposed to be. I don't care. If you put the engine of a rusted out Ford Focus inside of a Maserati, does it do the same thing? What do you think? Yes or no? So Wednesday night, you can kind of give me an answer, right? No, it doesn't, right? I got a Ford Focus. Okay, Ford Focus is nice. It's one of those great economical cars. Had it for 8 years. It's 10 years old. It does great. Great mileage. It's just a workhorse, but it's not a Maserati. Okay, I'll tell you that right now. You put that engine in a massive sports car, it still might look like a Maserati, but it's not going to do anything like a Maserati. Okay, you can push that pedal down. It's going to go as fast as my little Ford goes. That's it. It's going to go 0 to 60. We were just with a guy who owns a Tesla. I knew a lot about Teslas, but I found something out. A Tesla is literally like an in-app purchase. You buy a Tesla, you can push a button on the app of your car, upgrade your car. There's no engine in there. I knew that, but I didn't know you could upgrade. Literally click, $2,000, that's a lot of money, $2,000 purchase on your app, bink, updates your car out there. Just done. That's great. All right. You know, a Tesla's a cool car. Also, find out the side note, there's nothing to do with the message. You just push a button, the thing backs up.
pulls up to the front door and you can get in. Like, it's like your own chauffeur. You don't even need, you don't even need valet parking. You just valet park your own car. But it, you know, a Tesla's great. It has no engine. I don't know if you knew that. There's no engine in the front. It's an electrical car. But it has all these things on the wheels, you know, these, I don't even know there. Okay, but they're there, okay, and it's running the car. You know, those things failed. Somebody hacked the car, right? It's a computer. Somebody hacked the car. I don't care how nice, and those Teslas look nice. They're smooth. I don't care how nice it looks. It's not going to run. Okay, you put the computer power of a 2000 Dell. Remember those things? Bricks. My brother had a computer, HP. Came to college in 2000, year 2000. HP had 4 gig of space. My phone has 256 gig of space. His computer, it's bigger than my house, man. This thing was massive. This is brick. Like, I got my laptop, man. This is awesome. I'm thinking you can't even hold it up. Open up, you got to do weightlifting. You know what I'm talking about? You can put that computer in that Tesla. It would look like a Tesla, but that Tesla would not go 0 to 60. I heard like in 1.9 seconds, the new one's coming out. 1.9 seconds? Okay? That looks nice, but it's not going to do that. Why am I making all this illustration? Well, we're going to go to Proverbs 26:23. Simple verse, but you'll get why the illustration here in a second. Verse 23 says this, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. You say, brother, what in the world does that mean? Exactly what our illustration was talking about. Think about it. You can have a good-looking car, but if the insides are rotted out, rusted out, junk, it's not really a good car. It might look good, but it's nothing good. You know this, I was looking at the pulpit commentary, and it said this silver dross is an oxide of lead used to this day put a glaze on pottery. The comparatively worthless article is thus made to assume a fine appearance. Thus, lips that burn, that seem to burn with affection and to give the kiss of glowing love may mask a heart filled with envy and hatred. Judas kisses and words of friendship hide the bad feelings that lurk within. Christian, let me ask you a question tonight. Who are you? What does your heart look like? Matthew 15:8 says this, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, just as a man's physical heart condition is central to his quality of life, a man's spiritual heart condition is central to his spiritual quality of life. Now, I'm not this anymore, okay? But back when I was in high school, I was a physically fit guy, okay? And I was 175, did not vary from that. Man, I was on the, I could beat anybody in a 100-yard dash. I was extremely fast, athletic, all works. But I had a heart condition, you know, the heart murmur. And not as bad as others, but I had a heart condition. And in college, kind of changed a little bit. And there were times where you had this big old guy, he's physically fit. Why are you over there gasping for air on the sidelines? Because my heart's having problems. Come on, man, come on, tough it out. No, my heart's having issues here, right? You ever had that issue where something's not right with the old ticker, okay? It's not good to have it when you're 18, okay? It's not typical, but I had it, okay? And sometimes still have it here and there. It's kind of a genetic thing. But when the inside's not doing right, I don't care how physically fit I look, used to look, and I could run the football or play basketball, I couldn't do it, okay? There are some guys, you talk some of these, I've read some stories in the past where some of these amazing athletes have these random little small conditions on the inside, and they can't play. They're gone. They're done. They're done for life. They're done for, and they look like specimens of physical. You know, they could be on the front page of any CrossFit this or that. I mean, it's amazing. Christian, what about you? You know, a wicked heart that acts like it's pure, a wicked heart that acts like it's spiritual, is like a piece of broken pottery just covered in a cheap silver glaze. It's not really silver. It's just the stuff that falls from the silver. It's the imitation stuff. It looks slightly attractive. Let me just put it bluntly, but really it's only fit for the garbage heap. It's like fool's gold. It has the look, but in essence, it's complete and utterly worthless. Christian, let me ask you the question tonight. What's your condition? What's the condition of your heart? Before you answer that in your own heart, Think of the following verse. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I will tell you what, where the deceit starts in our own life, Christian, is right here in the heart. Sometimes I'm thinking, and I know myself, by the way, I'm preaching from where I was. But sometimes we have Christians who think to themselves, they've deceived themselves so many times and told themselves, "I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine." Okay, you know, doing that, if you've got sin in your life and you're telling yourself you're fine, it's like this. You're driving a car, right? There's things on the dash, and not just things on the dash, there's alarm bells going off. I've never heard alarm bells really going off, but you know, think about alarm bells. And there's steam coming out of the hood. How many of you ever driven a car down the highway or the road and there starts something starts to come out of the hood? Anybody like that? Okay, that's not the greatest feeling, is it? Okay? Have you ever gone down the road and your tire pops? Anybody had that happen? That is not a good feeling, okay? We had the bus, our big coach bus. We're driving down the road, and the tire blew. We're going 70 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour. Yeah, you see the bus just starts to tip. That is not a great feeling, okay? I don't care how good the bus looks. The bus is not in good shape. We were driving down the highway. Our next bus, the bus we have right now, the brakes gave way. Just boop, gone. We're on the highway. And the car in front of us stops. The traffic stops. I to this day, I think the angels just kind of guided our bus to a stop right in front of that traffic. The brakes just, they clicked back on. Somehow they just gave way for a little bit. That's not a very good feeling. The insides didn't work. You know, when our wheel popped, our driver didn't go, "Dad, we're good." And there's kids all the way in the back. "Oh, we're good. Let's just keep rolling. Nothing's wrong." Thump, 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 right? You know what I'm talking about? It's like those truck, you know, there's got to be a truck driver driving on the road. He's so tired. Thump, you know, blows his tire off. You know, we see the chunks on the road on the highway. He's like, "Yeah, I'm good." You know, it's just shredding tire behind him. You know, when our lives, we got sin in our lives. We got things going on in our lives. We got problems in our lives. We're resisting God. We got discouragement or whatever might be going on. And we think to ourselves, "Oh, I'm fine, I'm fine." Somebody asks you, "How you doing, brother?" "I'm good." Now, we don't need to hear a litany of all the things going on in your life. But you ever thought to yourself how many times we kind of cover the truth in church? Pastor's like, "Hey, how's it going?" "I'm fine, good." Inside you're thinking, "No, I'm not." Every alarm bell is going off. There's no gas in the tank. The tires are blowing up as you speak. Even the seats are falling apart inside, okay? The whole thing's falling apart. The car is not a car anymore. Literally, the only thing that looks good is the outside at the moment. Christian, we've all been there, and maybe you're there tonight, and maybe you're sick and tired of wiping on that glaze. "Man, I don't want to just go to church, and I'm here on a Wednesday night, Brother Mangala. Come on, give me a break here." Oh, I know. I understand. But the heart sometimes is deceitful, and we can deceive ourselves to thinking we're good. Let me ask you three quick important questions tonight, and I want you to, like a doctor who would look for a diagnosis, ask the great physician, allow the probing sword of the great physician to find the issue tonight. Three important questions. Number one, where is your heart? Where is your heart? What is your focus in life? Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If I was talking to young people, we'd talk about maybe friends, status, acceptance, grades in school, physical looks. You know, maybe talking to some older people, and I don't have a social media account for a couple of reasons, but mainly I don't have time for a social media account. There's a lot of good things you can do with social media, but I don't have the time for it. I don't need my social media account censored by anybody anyway, so I'd rather not start. But look, maybe you live, Christian, for the acceptance of a like or a dis. You know, you don't want a dislike, so you don't want a like and you want a friend. I don't even know all things you can do with these different things. And you live in something, you send out a text or you send something out, a picture, and that friend doesn't respond. Or they send a response that's not like you want. And you're devastated, and you live for what people think about you. You know, we look at teenagers, and they look at them, they're all peer-focused. So are we, Christian, older Christian, right? We live very much peer-focused a lot of times. Where is our focus? Our treasure will be there. Think about these sports players. I'm not really a sports fan right now with what's going on, but think about these sports players. They get so much money. I mean, so much money. Speaking of sports players, skip that. We're down in South Florida. We're just driving by. I was telling Pastor Knight, probably one square meter of the of the landscape outside of these gated communities costs more than my house. I mean, just, it's incredible. I mean, the palm trees and the sculpted, you know, it's just incredible. Where's all that money going to go? I mean, one of our team members asked, like, how do they have so much money? Where are they coming from? It's just rich. It's just a different world than which we live in. I mean, it's just a different world. It's not going to go with them. It's gone. It's going to be gone. They're going to lose all of their wealth. I'm telling you, sometimes you're like, well, I'm not wealthy. I have nothing. So, well, same with me. I don't have anything. But where is our treasure? Where is our focus? Where our focus is our treasure. I'll tell you what. I see some kids in here. Parents, are your kids your treasure? If your treasure, your focus is on your kids, that's where your treasure is. That's where your heart's going to be. So many times kids can, I got a 3-year-old and a 16-month-old, and sometimes, especially on the road, it's not the easiest having little kids, okay? But I will tell you what, if I put my focus on them and I love them, that's where my heart's going to be. That's a treasure. We were told twice by doctors, you're not going to have kids. We have two little miracle children running around, and they're the joy of our hearts. Some of the right treasures we can have, our family, personal walk with God, souls that we see saved, good friends. You know, just overall, this thought of heavenly treasures, keep your heart focused on God. Where is your heart? Number two, quickly, we're almost done here. Who has your heart? Some of this will overlap. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Does God have your heart? Christian, does God have your heart? Be honest with yourself tonight. Does God have your heart? When something happens, this is a test. When something happens, like COVID-19, like all of these problems, like, you know, you name it. The first person you go to, who is it? When you're in a trial, is it well, I better pray about it. Why do we do that? Why do I do it? Well, you know what? I've exhausted all my options. I should probably pray about it. Well, we should probably pray about it first and then see what God has to say about it. Our heart's in the wrong spot. When God has our heart, he will direct our steps. You know, it's an illustration of when someone gets married. When I got married 8 years ago, August 28th, 2012, I remember that date there. August 28th, 2012, when I got married, my father-in-law did something I haven't actually seen in any wedding before that or really after. He walked my wife down the aisle. And to that point, he had told me several times, he said, I want to give you all of Alyssa's heart. I was pretty pumped about that. I wanted to have my wife's heart. He says, the way I'm going to do that is, he said, you know, I'm going to take it. I'm going to have it all. And he was talking about it. And it was that amazing thing. We didn't touch before we got married. We didn't kiss before we got married. And at first time at the wedding altar, and by the way, I don't regret that at all. That was an amazing, amazing thing. My first kiss, that was pretty good. We got better as the night went on, and came to the reception. It was good stuff. You know what I'm talking about? The ding, ding, dings. I was like, come on, ding, come on, let's go. Bring it on, bring it on. She wasn't so hot about that, but I was like, come on, let's go. But she's going to kill me tonight after the service. But I'm not sure where I was going. Okay. We were standing. And, you know, I'm standing at the way, be honest, okay, I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to hold her hand, you know, she's going to hold my arm, get to hug her, da-da-da-da-da. It's crossing my mind, come on, nobody, you know, we're at 25 by the time. I'm standing there, and he told me he was going to do this, but I didn't really think about it until he took her hand, he took my hand, and he put her hand in mine. And it was symbolic of, I have her heart, now you have it, all of it. And that's pretty incredible. It was a pretty incredible moment when it was like, I'm passing it off. Listen to me, Christian. God wants our whole heart. Where is our heart? Oh, a little bit over here to the world, a little bit over here to this person, a little bit over here. When our heart is fully with God, he wants to share all of his blessings with us. Psalm 57:7 says this, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. There's so many verses. God wants to do so many good things to us and bless us in so many ways. But we have to give our heart to him and bless him and praise him for what he's doing. I can preach a message on trials. tonight. We can preach about trials. What about trials? Are we praising God in the trials of life? I'll tell you what, that is the number one test. God has our heart. Does God have everything in our lives? Number three, what's in your heart? What's the spiritual condition of your heart? We're almost done. Matthew 11, 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Pride versus humility. One of the worst things in life can get into our hearts and ruin us is pride. Are you a humble person tonight? When God deals with you, when your pastor's preaching, and something comes across your heart, like, no, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm doing just fine. When in reality we know what's going on inside of our hearts. Evil versus good, Matthew 12. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. What about you tonight, Christian? What's in your heart? What comes out of your heart? The Pharisees, they were all about looking good on the outside, just like those good-looking Maseratis. But the inside, white-walled sepulchers, they were just full of dead man's bones, rotting on the inside. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's in your heart tonight, Christian? Is it full of sin? Is it full of stuff that's wrong? Is it full of discouragement tonight? What's going on in your heart? So many things we could talk about. In time's sake, we're done. What's the condition of your heart? Lord said unto Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You know, I've traveled quite a bit, obviously, in my life. Been a lot of hotels in my life. And I've been to some hotels on this trip, and stinks because I'm a big, my wife and I love the breakfast. You know, you get a free breakfast, you like to get a breakfast, right? You know what I'm talking about? The last hotel we stayed at was a really nice hotel, and it's supposed to be this amazing, massive buffet. And obviously not. They have a box and a granola bar, and I should be thankful. It was good, but it was the same thing. Granola bar, apple juice, and dry oatmeal. You could put hot water in. That was good. So it got a little old. We had like 15 boxes lined up in our room because there was not really room service either because, you know, they're scared that we probably were sick and they're going to say, well, I don't know all the things, okay? But, so, hotel is a little different. But you ever know a hotel that looks amazing when you get there? You're like, wow, this is awesome. And you walk in the lobby, it's great. Get to your hotel room, you're like, this does not look the same as the lobby. You've been there? Like it was a fresh refurb. You know what I'm talking about? Like, they bought it out. Like, I always think that. Whenever I see a La Quinta Inn, I've been to a lot of La Quinta Inns. I went to La Quinta Inn, same place, in Iowa, one time. It's junk. Horrible. Next year, came back, brand new hotel, La Quinta. Nope, same hotel, just looked different on the outside. That's all it was. Just fresh coat of paint, looked a little different on the outside. I've been to many hotels, and you can tell, you know what I'm talking about, the carpet's all frayed, and this, the walls aren't painted, and stuff's scratched, and the door's falling apart, and you know, all these things are happening. Man, it looks amazing on the outside, man. But there's a reason it's $59.99. Telling you, you know, the Priceline deal wasn't that good. Originally, $65. Okay. On the outside, it looked great, but on the inside, it was rotten. Let me tell you, Christian, what's inside. We might only be able to look on the outside, but God looks on the heart. Where is it at tonight, Christian? Simple. Burning lips and a wicked heart. Man, you might be able to say it and do it. And you might be able to perform. I was there. I've been there. I know what that's like. I was a pastor's kid. I could put it on with the best of them. It's like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Man, it's just a piece of garbage covered with silver glaze to make it look good. You know what? Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, to save us, not so we could just bump through life and maybe look good to other people. He died on the cross so we could be used to be not just a piece of garbage, but an amazing piece of pottery formed by the Master's hand himself. So where is your heart, Christian? Is your heart right with him? Have you given it to him? Or is it not you holding things back? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just a simple challenge tonight. Hope it's been a blessing to you. See, Brother Van Gelderen, My heart's not fully there. The Lord dealt my heart about something specific. My heart tonight that I need to get right. Maybe I need to fully give my heart to him. You say, Brother Miguel, pray for me. The simple challenge tonight, God dealt my heart. Pray for me that I would obey him tonight. But I pray, Sam, you raise your hand and say, God dealt with me. Something specific. Please pray for me that I would deal with those things that God would have me to deal with. Anybody at all that say, God dealt my heart? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Anybody else? Say, God would dealt my heart. That I want to give my heart fully to him to do the right thing. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're going to do in our hearts. Even those that, Lord, sometimes it's hard to be honest with you. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you and to be together in fellowship. Lord, even during these interesting times, Lord, help us to be lighthouses for you and serve you with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Thank you, brother. We're going to have a hymn of invitation tonight. Perhaps there's a matter you need to settle around an old-fashioned altar tonight. If I could be down front to assist you anyway, I'd love to do that. Let's stand together as we sing. Come and lead us, please, if you would, please, Lawrence.